Blog Talk Radio.
The hits just keep on coming.
Let's start the show. You know what time it is.
What up? It's the Powerhouse Squad. The Powerhouse Squad. The radio.
The Powerhouse Squad is in the house. With Tone Robbins.
Live and direct, man.
Koopy Afore.
Video. I am your host, Koopy Afore.
And Brother Al.
Hey, what's up?
You know, it's not just the wisdom, it's the basis of understanding of the subject. The newest member to the Powerhouse Squad.
Sophia Alexandria.
Yeah. Once again, we are in the house representing. We are live in effect and definitely direct. The Powerhouse Squad is in the house. So what's going on, everybody out there in the World Wide Web and the Worldwide Tunes and wherever you're at? Wherever you assume. If you got the app, please post your questions for the show. We will get to you. We will have plenty of questions. I know people have been hitting us up on it, getting our app downloaded. The NSF radio app is in effect. So, you know what you want to do. You know, you meet that special someone or something like that. We are here. We are live in effect right there and direct for you. And there, whether it's the Powerhouse Squad or any of the shows on NSF radio, we are here for you to basically help you get through your day, make it a little bit better, and keep you informed of what's going on. All right. Let's get down to it. Powerhouse Squad, sound up. Brother Kofi, are you in the house?
Yes, sir. I'm here. How you guys doing?
All right. Brother Tone, are you in the house?
What's going on, man? Peace and light to everybody.
Sister Sophia, are you in the house?
Hey, I'm here. What's going on, everybody?
All right. We're going to start it up with the breaking news. Now, check this out. We got some hot news for you right there for you. Right there, the source is everything on. So let's get to the news and get down to it. And we know what time it is. All right. Everybody, here's the thing is we got to keep it straight up and what's going on out there. One, all right, a lot of us got our stimulus checks. Cool. We dealt with that issue. We've been dealing with it. Now they're talking about bill reform. Maybe a fourth wave might come. Okay, cool. If that happens. Also, our news, our dear beloved brother, DMX. Our dear beloved brother from DMX Rough Riders have been in the front of the hospital in New York praying for our brother because he's been going through some critical issues right now. Now, you know, I personally want to say to you, that brother's a hardworking brother. Honestly, I mean, seriously, this man is really a true slums to riches, back to slums, to fighting to come back to where he once was kind of story. I mean, the man's been abused. I mean, you watch his life story, you would see this things unfold that I don't wish on anybody. Okay? I don't wish on anybody at all. But you know what? He shows how to not let the whole world push you down and just keep it moving. Okay? So we want to get into that little bit about that later on. But we know we're going to give him a little shout out a little bit later. You know what that is. But anyways, we're going to get down to it. All right, so Sophia, you have a special guest in the room today. Give me an introduction. Who is this sister? This is Sophia.
Oh, sorry. I'm talking. I was on mute. So we have two guests that are on that are going to be coming on the show talking about the importance of ordinary stories within the community. And so the first guest I have is Deldry Stewart. What's special about Deldry is that she is a teacher who won Teacher of the Year previously, but she has some very, very unique stories about, you know, her style of teaching and the impact that she has made on her students. And so I actually want to just speak a little bit about Deirdre. Deirdre is the daughter of Charlie and Patricia Thompson. Having a mother as a teacher before her heavenly transition, she relied heavily on her wisdom and guidance in the field of teaching and leadership. Deirdre is also married and a mother of three children. She has managed to do all of this, be a mother, and managed to do all of that while feeding. She is a breast cancer survivor. In addition to teaching, Deirdre has a master's in educational leadership, and under her leadership, students have been proven to make gains of at least two grade levels in reading and develop a sense of family with responsibility. Her motto is, once your name is on my roll, you are forever in my heart and family. So, Deirdre, are you in the building? Deirdre, are you here? So, Alfred, did she check in? She's telling me she's on now. Hello? Alfred? Brother Alfred?
Hey, this is Kofi.
We have some technical issues right now. So, you know, we just improvise until we can get back on. But go ahead, Sister Sophia. Hello, welcome to the guest. I know we're trying to get her on, clearly. But let's try to work through this.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, listen, we just basically been trying to deal with these. We've been having some technical issues right now with streaming live and everything like that. But we apologize for any inconvenience that may have came up to us. But, you know, we're trying to get everything straightened out right now for you. And just keep that going and keep it moving out there for you. And everything like that. So let's get down to it. We have our guests are in the building, all right, and we have just got the cue from, I had to go check it on that and make sure that they were straight and everything like that. So let's bring them all on here. And so, Sophia, I see you, you're back here. All right. I apologize. Listen, it's better than what happened to us on Sunday. Sunday was a total wreck. Woo! But we working on it. Trust me, our IT people are working on it. Okay. We have our guests in the building. All right, we're gonna start bringing them on one at a time. All right, you're on NSF Radio with the Powerhouse Squad. Please give us your name.
Deirdre, are you there?
Oh, okay. How you doing? How you feeling today? Can you hear me?
I can hear you. I can hear the guest.
Oh, you can hear the guest? I can't hear the guest. Oh.
Yes, I've heard her every time she spoke.
I heard somebody just say, can you hear me?
Okay, I can't hear anybody. I can only hear you and Albert.
Okay, all right. Let's check with our other guests. Ian. All right. You're live on the Powerhouse Squad. You tune into the Powerhouse Squad. You're on live right now. Who's this?
Can you hear me now? This is Deirdre.
Yay. Yes. Hey, Deirdre. Thank you. Thank you for your patience. So let's get straight to it.
We improvise.
Okay, yeah. After I finish on this subject, okay?
Thank you. I appreciate it. So let's get straight to it. So, Deirdre, you are a teacher in Louisiana, and I want to start off by asking you, what led you to the field of teaching?
Okay. I can honestly tell you that I wanted nothing to do with teaching as a child because my mom was a teacher. So I was like, no, I will never be a teacher. But then I started my family of my own, and then I was like, okay, teaching is my calling. So when I went into it, it really just kind of came natural.
Okay. Okay, so I do want to talk about the Teacher of the Year because you made the news and there was this big, you know, thing about Deldre Stewart. Did you hear about the story about Deldre, the Teacher of the Year? So not only were you that, but you were different than previous Teachers of the Year. So can you, you know, talk about that a little bit?
Okay, yeah, that was back in 2018. I actually had done an interview with my son the year before, with him being the valedictorian and getting a scholarship, the first scholarship, soccer scholarship of that of Ouachita High School. And the same guy, I let him know, like, hey, they just voted me Teacher of the Year. And he did the interview because it was voted on by the other teachers based on, you know, me being a mentor teacher, working with the after-school program and everything. And not only that, but also being a cancer survivor. And my story was unlike any other because me, my mom, and my sister all had cancer at the same time. My mom and my sister didn't make it through. However, I was the one that survived and was able to finally get that acknowledgement of being a good teacher.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So what, because I've heard stories about how different you do things and the connection that you have with the story. So what lit that fire and you to be different?
Well, my philosophy has always been treat my students like they were my own or like I would want someone to treat my own kids. So that meaning if I saw a student struggling or hurting, I made it my business to always, you know, try to address the problem and see. I always wanted my kids to feel safe around me and to come to me with things. And, you know, I have students that I have transitioned from my student to my godchild just from well, one of my godchildren was my student in the fifth grade. She struggled kind of with self-image issues, and she was a fighter. But we started going to the gym. It all started with just going to the gym, ask their parents, because, you know, we kind of got to be real careful how we interact with kids these days and everything. But I really just, they clung to me and I clung to them, and we went to the gym, worked out, we've gone to church together, and it just naturally progressed. And she, this past year, she graduated from college. The first of her in her family to graduate from college in criminal justice. So I'm like so proud of her.
No, that's amazing. That's really good. And my condolences to you and your family and that strength that you pulled through. So I'm happy about that. And also, teachers are not going to the gym with their students. So that's remarkable to me, like that you picked on. Not only are you helping them with education, you are also, they're getting from you basically what teachers are normally not giving to students. You're caring about their confidence. You said self-image. Yes. So just like, okay, let's work on it. Let's go to them. Who is doing that? So my applause to you on that. So what other unique stories can you share with us? Because today's topic is about the importance of ordinary people, the stories of ordinary people just like yourself in the community. So what else stood out in your life as a teacher that you can share with us?
To me, it's really just seeing the kids grow as they, you know, they're in your class, and then it's not like you don't see them again. You see them in the within the community again, and you see their success stories. Like I have a student in my class right now whose mother I taught when she was in junior high or fifth grade, sixth grade, and she's a successful traveling nurse right now. Like, you have no idea what that does for a teacher to see her kids succeeding. Like, that's what I wanted you to do.
Wow.
I want you to be a successful citizen. I have students that I follow on Facebook. They follow me back. They are entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. And you could see it. I could see it in them. They just needed that seed to just keep going. We, my students now, we sing a song every morning talking about, you know, I am number one. And I have everything it takes to be number one. I'm successful. I'm great. I woke up with a purpose. My day will be great. That, I mean, that's just making sure that they get those, that positive self-image within them, knowing that they can do it. We say confessions every morning. They say scriptures every morning so that they know God has not given them a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. So anytime somebody talks about them or calls them stupid, guess what? I have a sound mind. I teach them how to come back.
Yes. That's awesome. What grade are you teaching right now?
Right now I'm teaching third. This is my first year teaching third grade. So.
Okay. And so what you're saying, can I say that the rewarding experience for you is seeing your children, your students succeed and become who you believe or who they wanted to be? Is there anything more to it?
It's really just, again, getting to grow their minds, and being there for them, whether they are in my classroom or whether they have left the classroom. They know. I let them know, hey, let me know if there's anything you need, especially when, you know, they're out in the community, and they bring it back. Like, they come, and I have students that have come and spoke with my current students before. So just knowing that you are putting something into someone who will in turn give that same peace back to someone else.
Okay. So how can the community be more of a help to the local schools, in your opinion?
In my opinion, we just need to see them more. Like, coming in and bringing it to more of bringing back that it takes a village to raise, you know, the kids, coming in, sponsoring maybe lunch one day or mentoring some students. Because, you know, some students can't really, we are all visual learners, and in order to see it and be it, we have to see it. So that's what I would like to do. I would like to see the community businesses more, like on coming in inside the school and being more visible. You get what I'm saying?
Yes, I understand exactly what you're saying. Basically, everybody needs to be involved in the children's lives, because it everything that we all do together counts, and it helps that child even further. And so I do want to ask you, what's one struggle with the system since you're a teacher? There's something, somebody's always complaining about something, so what's your complaint?
Well, my complaint, I have a list of it. No, I don't. I love where I work right now. I'm loving where I work. and I need my job. But however, the one thing that I hate to see is the push for them, to push them beyond what they're capable of. I kind of didn't say that right. But, you know, with the standardized test scores and everything, that's the biggest thing. When I would like life, because life has just happened to us all with COVID and everything. Instead of still continuing to go on as if nothing has happened, we don't see all of this stuff around us, we need to kind of, the kids have missed time, missed gaps. They have gaps in their learning. So I don't want, you know, it to just be skipped over, you know, and there's going to be a gap right there. So we just kind of need to fill it with something. So that's the biggest thing. It's just a push.
Okay, so I want to open it up to the Powerhouse Squad. If they, I do have another question I want to ask you, but before I ask that one, I just want to open it up if someone want to chime in on what you're already talking about.
All right. I got one for you, sister. When it deals with the scholastic testing levels, when you're dealing with, like, certain children that might need special needs, do you think that the way they are testing these children to see if they do need special needs is accurate, and or is it, do you consider it to be outdated in today's society? Because you're dealing with those kind of issues, and, you know, you got children out here that might have ADHD, they might have dyslexia, they might have reading abilities or learning disabilities as well. But being as a teacher, from your standpoint, yeah, I know that usually you're the one to signal, you know, this child needs this special, might need this set kind of testing. Do you think some of the testing styles or instruments or the tools are outdated in today's society?
I don't think it's outdated. I think we definitely need to be more flexible with what the students need. Almost every kid in my class has ADHD with the attention span. I can get what you mean as far as it needing to transition with the times that we have now, because they have so many electronics that they are dealing with, and sometimes their needs gets overlooked. So I can definitely see where you're coming from. But I think it needs to be – I can see both sides, where it does point out the little because I test students sometimes, and I can see where it does hit home where, okay, yes, these are the characteristics of dyslexia or dysgraphia. But I think it also – the testing needs to kind of play a part or be more flexible when it comes to timing and having the attention span. That's the biggest thing, the attention span.
Well, mm-hmm. do you feel that, you know, that, I mean, all right, I'm going to use myself as an example. I always try to do. I was a student that was through a special needs itself, and, you know, I had to go through those kind of issues as a young child. And I noticed that, you know, the testing ability that they put on certain students is a lot of strange. I know testing is different in each state or every location that's out there. We got a little feedback in the background here. Okay, hold on one second. Okay, all right. We got a little feedback.
I get what you're saying.
Yeah. So, I mean, do you think that there should be I know there's usually a statewide testing skills, but I'm thinking, do you think there should be a federally mandated a way of testing instead of just a state, but the state way of testing?
Oh,
I mean,
most definitely. I think it kind of is, but you're right. Each state has their different methods of testing, but it still kind of goes hand in hand. They're still kind of tested on the same skills that they need to be in order, you know, quote unquote, to be successful. However, when you're talking about kids with special needs or that, you know, need more timing and stuff like that, it's hard to say what you need to do. And because each child is different, so it definitely needs to be more of a different variety of ways of testing the intellectual abilities of a child.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree.
I think it definitely needs to be a more flexible way, like mainly with the time span and stuff. But when you think about it, what job can you go to? And this is what I tell my, even if you have some special needs, you have to be able to be flexible, to not lean on it as a crutch, because what job can you go to that you can say, okay, I'm sorry, I have this need, or I can't figure this out in my head just as quick as you need me to. Can you help me out? No, that job is probably going to say, you can't work here.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of where I try to make sure that my kids can have that time that they need and also be able to work within the community too.
I have one last question, and then I'll pass it back on. Is being a teacher, in 2021, do you feel that there's a high stress factor within the teacher's community, being a teacher in today's community, that, you know, that's mainly not being fully addressed? I know there was a pay issue because across the nation. Yeah. But how do you think we should be addressing this issue? Do you think through union? Do you think it's just conversation with the principals, school boards? Or what do you think is the best address with the stress factors? I do know that they try to address with the payment issue on the federal government issue, on the standardized, raising the the standard pay for teachers to be, you know, equally up there. But how do you deal with the emotional, the financial stress, and any advice that you can give to any of our teachers that are listening out there?
Oh, yes. The stress of it all is definitely something that needs to be addressed, because we have to kind of, and especially in 2021 with COVID and learning technology, we weren't taught this stuff. And when we were coming up to try to be an online teacher and teach the technology part of it, some of my students can teach me better than I can teach them. So we definitely need to have a conversation, because, you know, they joke with me all the time, like, your kids don't teach you this, Ms. Stewart. Like, no, I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to take this picture with the camera and stuff like that. However, definitely a national conversation needs to be had. We just want to be listened to and heard. The pay, of course, we're no teachers in it for the pay. I don't think any teacher is in it for the pay, because we definitely don't get paid to be a counselor, a therapist, a problem solver, a police officer sometimes, you know.
Second mother.
Second mother. Second mother, hands down. So, we definitely need some counseling within the schools. I would like to see counseling therapists on staff. I've heard of some schools that actually have done like a quiet room when they get that anxiety and depression type symptoms. Because when you see students struggling, that's my biggest thing. When I see students struggling and I know I have to keep going. So like a hazard. We need hazard pay.
Oh, yes, I agree. We have to apply that. We got to. Help me.
Because when we get home after we've been dealing with kids all day, it's really tough to transition into, you know, being a home, having that home life. But I really think that and hopefully with the president that we have now and his the wife being a former educator, I don't know if I just said that right, but I just know it's with our governor, as well. But that we can have our feelings and our thoughts and our concerns addressed. But a person that has really been at the forefront of getting teachers heard is the comedian. Let me think of his name real quick. I'm a teacher. I have to think of everybody's name. What is his name? Oh, he's out of Texas. He's out of
brain
Texas.
Fart.
What is his
we
name?
Have a
Eddie
brain
B.
fart.
Eddie B. I got it.
Eddie B. Okay, we got the name. We got the name now. Let's go with it.
Eddie B., the teacher comedian. He is like, he says stuff in a joking manner, but this is everything that a teacher has ever
have
gone through. That's, has mm-hmm. He has gotten me through some of my darkest days of teaching.
Wow. Mm. Oh,
we'll have to take him out.
That's
he's right.
I'm gonna chime in right here. And first
Hi,
and foremost,
Tom.
I want to say thank you for thank you for your dedication and your service, and what you do for the children. We do appreciate that. And as you was talking about some of the things that you were discussing, you know, over the last minute or so, how is your mental health, you know, with this pandemic situation?
I'm sorry, you heard me laugh out loud.
yeah, I heard you.
You can hear me through the phone?
Yes, I can hear it through the phone.
You know, I struggle. I'm not afraid to say that I struggle with, you know, depression and anxiety. But that's with anything. But being around my students daily, I promise you, it's worth it.
Wow.
And
like I had a student come
there's a
and
lot.
Ask me
go ahead,
you know,
I'm sorry.
For some. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was going to ask you, is it like when you say you struggle with your mental health, you struggle, you know, with the highs and the lows. I was going to ask, is it because of the workload that you have with the unique incidents that you may see from time to time with your students?
Yes. That's definitely a part of it. You have some years where you have the kids that can really get it. And like I said, it's really hard when you really want them to get it and you know what's out there waiting for them. It's called the real world.
Right.
And they either don't get it or don't want to get it because most of the schools that I worked in have been, you know, the underprivileged schools. So I just, you know, it's hard trying to impress upon children who want to be children what's coming for them.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a father, I'm a parent, so I definitely, I can relate to that because, you know, that good old middle child right now. It's just one of those things where it's just like, they're kind of stuck in between where, you know, like for him, I just scratch my head and I'm like, oh man, are you picking up any of thing that I'm showing you? Because you know he's in the fit, and so I'm not pressing for him to be a young adult. I'm pressing for him to be mature and just be more mindful of his environment for the most part. So yeah, I can definitely relate to you and what you're saying about the kids, but I think it's harder now because like from a curriculum based standpoint, you're very limited or restricted as far as being interpersonal with the children, you know,
right.
Other than those little one-off situations.
And that's why I really said, you know, cause it, not only do the teachers need it, but the students need it too. Cause they go through so much stuff at home that you would be surprised that they definitely bring it to school with them. If a child has just gotten fussed at by their parent before they gotten out of the car, when they come in, they're not going to be on the top of their game. Or they just need a place where they can come because they're here all day. Where can they go or who can they talk to?
I think homeroom needs to be dedicated to
I think homeroom needs to be dedicated to meditation when they come in the morning so that they can regroup.
Exactly.
You know, like you said, because you know you may have that vocal parent who's unfortunately demonstrative in their tone, where they're cutting the kid down and putting that negativity into them before they even start their day. So, you know, and I'm an adult, and I had a bad day yesterday, and it was one of those situations where, you know, I was on the phone with doing business, and I said, hey, I'm going to cut this conversation short because I don't want to say anything I will regret. So I got to regroup. And so, you know, it's kind of, you know, in relationship, I've been with a person who is a verbal, you know, I don't want to say abusive, but more so like, you know, they use a lot
That's
of colorful language.
I'm sugarcoating it,
but you know, it's a lot of profanity and early in the morning, and it's like, hurry up, come on, just, you know, all this other stuff like that. And that is the norm for a lot of people, because, you know,
I was just saying
based on how you was raised, you know, coming up, it's a certain culture and certain communities that they just feel like, you know, that's the way to go. So a lot of these kids are impacted like that. So that's why I was being suggested to say, you know, I think a lot of teachers should try to advocate for their homeroom to be one of those quiet time periods where those kids can kind of like slow their heart rate down, slow their mind down, and regroup, and even throw in some different things like tuna forks and stuff like that, man. To
these kids up. They have to. Yeah. Oh, we definitely do it.
We got
yoga.
The hippie teacher. He's the hippie teacher.
No.
Ain't nothing wrong with
yoga,
that.
Hey. I don't feel a need to defend it, man. But like I said, it's healthy for the heart and the mind.
Yes.
All right, everybody, listen,
whatever.
Listen,
we
want, before we get to that reply, listen, we want to pay the bills. We'll be back in 2 and 2. Right, you know what it is. NSF Radio Power Squad.
Yo, Pop, yo, check out that situation right there, yo.
Yeah, with some emotions, man.
Yo, honey, right there, yo.
Yo, to find Amazon, man.
Yeah, she got it going on and on, like, you know what I'm saying? She be trying to act like all of that, though, yo.
So show her the voice, man, what's up?
Yo, big kid style.
No question, big kids in full effect, man.
Yo, I'm gonna kick the Willie Bo with him. Check it, yo.
No question.
Hey, yo, what's the 411, hon?
What's the 411, hon?
I got it going on,
hey, yo, I got it going on.
What's the 411, huh?
What's the 411,
huh? I got it going on.
Hey, yo, I got it going on.
Will I be Pooba on this chair? The nigga from last year. Jabot's hanging back. He's Tommy Hilfiger top gear. Take no shorts. I'm doing lovely in all sports. Even swing the pole like a hole on my golf course. Some say I'm fancy because I'm horny and nasty. If I see some rugged joints, then I won't let it pass me. I take no shorts. Let suckers step up to see. I'll flip the script and get harder than Jeopardy. I shot the sheriff and the motherfucking deputy. Test me. Check it. I'm not Keith Sweat, but bet that ass that I can make it last. Skins turn their head so fast, they end up catching whiplash. If Hun's a monster, I'm Kyle Lewis on the meter, dad. It's Grand Poober, baby, and I'm getting crazy cash. What's the 411? Let me know, hun. What's the 411?
What's the 411, hun?
What's the 411, hun?
I got it going on.
Hey, yo, I got it going on.
Hey, yo, what's the 411, hun?
What's the 411,
hun? I got it going on.
Hey, yo, I got it going on.
Yeah, nigga, what makes you different than the next nigga? Seen you last week and you couldn't even speak. You try to play like Mr. All of That, but now you wanna come to me with some chit-chat? I don't have no time for no wham-bam, thank you, ma'am. Gas me up, get me drunk, and hit the stage and scram. The same old shit you pulled last week on Pam? I'm not having that. No, I'm not having that. You gotta do a lot more, and that's just how it be. I'm Mary Biden, you just ain't running up with me. I need a man who's looking out with some security. So come correct with some respect, and then we will see. So if you're with it, then drop the 7 digits, and I might just give you a call. If you ain't with it, then don't waste your time at all. So what's the 411, huh?
Bristol.
just talking a little something, man.
Yo, so what's up? Push up, man.
I'ma catch up with it in a minute right now. See what she talking about.
So set it straight, man.
All right, y'all, get back with you later, G.
Chill.
All my love is all I have.
And Grandpa was very special.
All my life I look for you.
And today your dream comes true.
You need me and I need you.
Grandpa Bob is very special.
Sing to
block or something kind of special.
Love is life and life is nifty.
Yeah, yeah.
You're very special.
You know it, baby. You got it going on a little something. So, yo, baby, you know what I'm saying? Look, something. Hey, I got a little pop.
Yeah, man.
Check it, man. Little resume with that skit, man.
Got that 411, man.
There's too many of you.
Yeah. So I can finish this book.
Brother, brother, brother. There's far too many of you down.
No, it don't
you
matter.
Know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Yeah. Father, father.
Okay.
We don't need. You see, war is not the answer, for only love can conquer hate.
You know we've got to find a way to bring some love and kiss
here today. Oh, picket lines and picket signs, don't punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see.
Yeah.
thing right here.
We told you we did it. We're going to do it. We did another tribute for our brother DMX. Hey, but we're back in the show. So let's get it on. Let's get it on. Let's pop in. What's going on? All right. We have one of our special guests on, Sister Nicole's in the house. So listen up. We want to also appreciate you all coming on today. NSF Radio, don't forget to download the app. If you don't, go to your Google Store or your iPhone Store, which will be coming soon. But the Google Store is now. So get your Google phone out, Android phone out, and download the NSF Radio station app is on. Just type in NSF Radio, pop right up, and boom, download it. We have everything. You have a question for the show, question for the audience, question for just want to post up there. Pick your brain or pick other people's brains out there. post a question on the forum. We there for you. Or if you want to meet somebody, you know it's there. So NSF Radio is there. So let's get back to it. So, Sophia, it's on you.
Yeah. So we have Jaira Nicole in the building right now. She's ready. But before we jump to Jaira Nicole, I believe we have Miss Stewart on the line, and her kids just want to give a little quick shout out.
Are you there, Miss Stewart? Oh, it's fine. They don't want to give a shout out.
All right, you are live and affecting on the powerhouse.
Here they go, here they go, here they go, here they go, here they go. Y'all say hello.
Hello. Oh.
Hey, children, what's going on?
Yes, what's going on? I love that. Thank you.
All right. We love the children. We love the children. We love them when they come on.
Yeah.
So we have
Jaira Nicole in the building. Jaira Nicole is a journalist. She's a digital copywriter and the host of the Jaira Nicole Show. Yes, she's a part of the Texas Metro News Station in Dallas, Texas. So, yes. A writer at heart, Jaira Nicole spotlights ordinary people with extraordinary stories, stories that inform, inspire, entertain, but mostly, importantly, drive action. A millennial by day and Lois Lane by night. I like that. Jaira Nicole is a storytelling connoisseur with a passion for discovering news and turning them into stories that matter. Her mission is to inspire humanity and change the world around her, one story, one person at a time. With a heart for service and an eye for the community, Jaira Nicole uses her voice to tell stories of her beloved community straight from the heart. You can learn more about Jaira Nicole and her work at JairaNicole.com. Jaira Nicole, are you in the building?
Hello.
Hey, welcome. Thank you for being here today. I am so excited for both of my guests today. So, Jaira, what inspired you to be a journalist?
Yeah, absolutely. So it started back when I was in high school. I don't know if you guys are familiar with invisible children, but basically we had invisible children like come to our school and they did this presentation on like children in Uganda who were forced into the Lord's Resistance Army. And so I just remember watching them tell the story behind that and being fascinated, so much so that they had opportunities for us to, like, open up a little club at our school. And so I went up after the presentation and said, okay, I want to be, you know, the president of Invisible Children Club at my school, Fort Worth Country. Then I stayed involved with Invisible Children. In college, I went to UCLA to participate in their Fourth Estate Leadership Conference. And the central theme there was the power in telling a story. And so we got to, like, meet and interact with all of these, like, innovators in the fields of, like, journalism and business and arts and entertainment. And so I just remember just being, like, so mesmerized, being so captivated and just in awe of, like, how stories can really, you know, just change the world and drive people to make a difference and just make the community better. And so it was like literally after that conference, I was like, oh my gosh, journalism, this is me, this is what I want to do. And so I always loved to write. I always kept a diary and was always writing my thoughts and things like that. And I used to write like stories as a little girl and stuff like that. And so that always kind of stayed with me. It's funny because when I first went to college, I ended up like trying biology, which that didn't last, of course. That did not last because I was just being like, you know, the be a doctor, be a lawyer, there's a lot of money, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, that it worked out, and I knew that my passion was always in journalism. So that's kind of essentially how that started. And then I ended up switching my major to communications my sophomore year, and I was like, okay, this is so me. I don't know why I tried biology to begin
wow.
with.
Wow. And I've watched some of your shows, and your shows are pretty good. I'm looking like, look at her. Look at her work. Oh, my goodness. So I'm glad to have you on the show today, and that's so inspiring that you saw one story and now you reach out to other people and share their stories. That's beautiful. So why is it important that we, you know, put the spotlight on ordinary people, in your opinion? Why is it so important?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. For me, it's the fact that what I love about my show and makes it unique is the fact that I do tell stories from people from all walks of life, because I think a lot of people tend to think in order to make a difference, you have to be like a celebrity, right? Or some prominent mm-hmm. figure mm-hmm. or some kind of leader. But it's actually like, no, everyday people like you and me, your neighbor, the person you see walking across, everybody, the one thing we all have in common is a story. We all have a story to tell. And so it doesn't matter mm-hmm. who you are, your story can be used to inspire other people. I mean, if we take it a little step further, we can think about social media, right? And the whole idea of influencers. How did influencers come to be? Well, they started realizing instead of having celebrities say, you know, promote these products, they realized people who saw someone who looked exactly like them, who wasn't famous, you know, who mm-hmm. they could relate to, try this product, try on this outfit. People were more inclined to purchase and buy. So for me, my show kind of does the same thing, into where I can interview you, I can interview your other co-hosts, and you'll find all these people. Sometimes they don't even, like when I approach people, they'll be like, oh, I don't really think I have anything to share. And then when I start asking them questions, they find mm-hmm. out, wow, I am kind of interesting, right? Because a lot of people don't think they're interesting. They think they have nothing. They haven't done anything great in life. But really, when they dig deeper, they find out, like, wow, I do have a story to share. And there's a lot of people who, whenever they share their story, other people come out with a new perspective, whether they're the person exactly. on the football team, right? You know what I mean? Who's been trying to, like, make it for so long, or whether they started off, like, cooking because they loved watching their grandmother cook, and then they were able to open their own business. It doesn't matter, like, what you do, your story. That's my biggest thing. Your story can be used to inspire and inform and just educate other people, because that's what keeps us connected to each other as human beings, right?
Yeah, I agree. I love that, because that's one of the things that I love to talk about, is everyone has their own story. And, you know, just like you said, a lot of people are like, I don't have anything. What's good about me?
Right.
But there are a lot of good things and about you that you can share that will give that person that other perspective, that other idea or inspiration to start something new that they didn't think before. So I love this topic and the show, because I want people to be inspired. Just like your story matters. Your story matters. My story matters.
Right.
You never know who we are, you know, motivating or inspiring to do something or do something differently or to think differently. So I do want to ask you, since you are in journalism, what unique stories have you uncovered that you want to share today?
Oh, gosh, there's so many. But honestly, every person, and I know this sounds like, of course, she's just saying that, right? But honestly, every person that I've had on my show, I, like, there's no story that's, like, greater or more incredible than the others, because they're all incredible, but I've enjoyed all of them. But I could go with some of the recent ones just to give you guys a little, like, about, when was that, last week? No, 2 weeks ago, I had a Rwanda genocide survivor on my show who was telling her story. And she, her name's Eileen Umatani. She's amazing. And by the way, and I just have to add this in there. By the way, you guys, I find these people just on social media. Like, that's what I'm saying. There's people out there who, they may never make mainstream media. You know, the people that I have on my show, you may not see them on, you know, Channel 4 or Channel 8 or mainstream media. But these people are doing incredible things in their community, just, and they deserve to be spotlighted, highlighted. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I want my platform to be for, those stories that kind of might get brushed off or they're not considered hard news. So therefore, they're like, eh, it's not considered news. But for me, it's news. Ordinary people matter. But anyways, I interviewed her, and she was fantastic. She was 5 years old. She watched her father get killed in front of her by a machete. She watched hundreds of people, you know, obviously get killed and murdered. And she's had like 13 therapists that she's had to see just to overcome that. But her story's so inspiring and so powerful. So as you can imagine, when I was interviewing her, I was just like, oh my gosh, wow. I've also had a little person on my show who came and talked about like disability awareness and how people living with disabilities are basically essentially left out of conversation. She brought up a good point, which is, for example, if it's Black History Month, she talks about how you'll see like maybe a panel, you'll see a Black woman entrepreneur on a panel, you'll see a Black man. But in terms of like highlighting disability, people with disabilities, they're often left out. So that was kind of like, whoa, a whole new revelation. I had someone who's a professional mermaid for a living.
Oh,
on
wow.
My show.
What is that?
I mean,
tell
me. Yeah. I think I heard something like that.
Yeah. I try to do like just, I mean, any and everybody. And she was telling me like, whenever she tells people like, what do you do? Oh, you know, I'm a lawyer or I'm an accountant or whatever. And she's like, I'm a professional mermaid. People kind of laugh and they're like, no, seriously, what do you do? And she's like, that's what I do. I am a professional mermaid. But anyways,
wow.
She has her own business where she tours and does shows, dive shows. And she was telling me about like fitting that heavy tail that she has to, her legs are tied together to put on her mermaid tail. And I didn't know that mermaiding is actually a $1 million industry and it's expected to grow. So she has to swim with her eyes open. And she was telling me basically how like kids and adults, it brings them to this world of fantasy. I also interviewed a couple who were living life as minimalist. Thank you. Woo, millennial. Minimalist. And they were telling me how through minimalism, you can find more freedom just by, you know, getting rid of stuff you don't need and just basically living a more frugal life. And it eliminates the impulsive, you know, buyer. I've also been lucky enough to have you as well, Sophia, on my show and help people, you know, heal from the hard things that they're going through in terms of relationships. I've just had so many different and incredible people from, like I said, all walks of life who all have a story to tell. And it's kind of just like, you know, unexpected, I think they find it when I approach them sometimes because they're just like, why me? But I'm like, people are interested in what y'all have to say. You just don't. It's just so amazing to me how people don't realize that. So, I've just enjoyed it so much, honestly.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I want to open it up to the Powerhouse Squad if they have any questions.
Yeah.
But that mermaid job, you know what? Let me order my mermaid suit right now.
$1 million? Wow. Okay. All right. I think I need to change my career resume. Let me see. Now
I'm swimming with my eyes open.
Now soliciting merman. Maybe
and
I can be Aquaman.
They actually do have merman. She told me because I asked. I said, "Are there mermans?" And she said, "Yes, absolutely. There's a lot of merman."
Wow. Okay. In the case, now you know, and no one's half the battle. the thing is, I like I heard what you were saying about the mainstream media versus, you know, those who get the stories that, you know, that's not being seen. You know, that's one of the things we try to do here, you know, and, you know,
make sure we focus. You know,
absolutely.
Yeah, you can cover the big stories and everything like that, but you know, if you're covering, you know, Joe Schmo or the local mayor that might hand out cats for a living or something like that,
mm-hmm.
you know, just something that I don't. You give a different perspective of things and a different view.
Right.
But I want to ask you my first question now. When you're dealing with this kind of these issues, do you mostly move with emotions or gut feeling? What makes you feel, okay, this story is something I really want to cover? Is it more a gut feeling that says, all right, I got to get this? Because, you know, you approach these editors on TV editors or station editors or whatever,
mm-hmm.
you give them, you say, hey, listen, we got a program down here that is first of its kind, and it's swept under the rug. No, it's not, it's sweeps week, or it's da-da-da-da-da, or this kind of season,
right.
That's not hit right now, or we got this covered right now. And sort of ask you, you know, I mean, what makes you say, okay, this is my story?
Right. So I think it's kind of a combination of a bunch of some where I know, like, for example, how I mentioned the Rwanda genocide survivor, like that's one
yeah.
where I'm like, okay, I know people who, you know, like just think of anybody who survived a genocide, you know, or survived the Holocaust or just, you know, if there was someone, of course, if they were alive, like who survived slavery, right? That's, those stories are something people would just be naturally curious about. So those are
right.
the gut-wrenching, like, oh, off emotions, like right off the back, like I know people would be interested. But the professional mermaid stories as well, like stories like that, I just kind of think of it as, you know, this is kind of odd. This is a little strange. Maybe not everybody might be interested in it, but I do think it would be interested because it's so far off what people expect,
mm-hmm.
right?
Different.
In terms of news, what people consider news. So there's kind of my emotions pulling me towards that, where I'm just like, this is different. This is, you know, weird, but people might actually be interested in hearing that. And then there's others in terms of me finding people in stories. What I typically try to do is go with like the calendar. So, for example, I always look at the month, and I'm like, okay, we're
right,
in April.
Right.
What are those holidays and awareness, what do they call them, observance and awareness going on? Like right now, April is the National Month of Hope. April's also Stress Awareness Month. April's also Sexual Abuse Survival Month. So I'll kind of go with that, right, and go
mm-hmm.
with that theme and then start Googling and finding people, you know, on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, whatever, who are talking about those topics. So that's another way that I do it. And then there's just topics in general where I'm like I'm going to have down the line someone on there who's going to talk about their gambling addiction, right? Just
mm-hmm.
kind of things that I find most people can relate to. You know, a big one everyone can talk about, and these are topics that never go out of season, would be health and fitness, right? Everybody's
right,
always
right,
talking
right.
about how they look, how they need to lose weight, how they need to gain weight, you know, things like that. So there are those topics where off the back
boy.
I know, okay,
yeah.
this is something that
me
everybody
and Cole,
is
we
going to
have
talk
plenty
about.
Of shows of that. We've had plenty of shows about fitness on here. To the point that I swear I could be a guru and Kofi could even be the expert guru. So, you know, we've talked about, we got that covered.
I absolutely believe you. Like, because like I said, those never go out of, you know, those just never go out of season. I know when it's February and Valentine's Day coming up, what does everyone want to talk about? Love, relationships, being single, all of that stuff. So I know, you know, okay, during this month, I'm going to talk about this. So that's basically pretty much how I cover. And then, of course, I'll, you know, every now and then I will tie on to what I see going on in mainstream media, you know, if Biden's doing something or when Trump was doing something, you know, of course, there's people like right now, city council is candidates are out promoting, you know, themselves and hosting all of these events. So I had a city council candidate for District 6 in Fort Worth come on my show. And, you know, voter suppression is a big topic going on, you know, in mainstream media. So I can start researching and looking up people to have on the show in regards to that topic. So that's kind of how I, you know, find people and kind of put everything together.
Wow.
I love it. I love it.
Now,
I love
now,
it. And
yeah, I was going to say that, you know, I noticed that, you know, that when you put those pieces, can you explain to some of us people, we've heard the term, what does a fluff piece mean? I've never really understood that term in journalism.
Say it
what
again. I didn't
really
hear
mean?
The term.
What does the term fluff piece mean? I've never really understood that term. Can you explain that to people? But some people don't understand what that means. I'm trying to understand it.
I'm hearing, it's like whenever you're pronouncing it, it's going out. I'm hearing something P, but I'm not making out the word. I'm sorry.
Fluff piece, you know, like fluff.
Oh, fluff piece.
Yeah. What does that mean? What does that mean?
So a fluff piece is basically like what people consider like a story, like essentially a news story where they're like, it's not considered like really important. It's more so kind of unimportant. Like, let me try to give an example that would put, you ever see those news stories where they talk about this dog who did something? Oh, that's a good one that I saw on Instagram. There's this dog that went viral because he was like obsessed with this little unicorn. And so he was like in the shelter and like, yeah, this sounds kind of crazy, but like he was obsessed with this toy unicorn. And so like, he kept going into the store, apparently, like he would like escape and go into the store and like literally go on the shelf, grab a unicorn and like drag it out of the store, and it went viral or whatever. And then like the dog ended up like, now all these people want to adopt the dog, and they took pictures of the dog with the unicorn. Stuff like that is kind of considered a fluff piece because it's kind of like unimportant stories, but they can still be news.
Yeah.
Like, people don't care.
I got this feeling Tone is rolling over and right now and laughing. What do you think?
No, I'm just hanging back, but I do want to say, Jira Nicole, hey, as a journalist, news advocate, you know, thank you for giving us some positive stories. I mean, you know,
yeah.
everybody goes to the negative stuff a lot, and
right.
they focus on the national news story. So,
right.
I mean, shout out to you. Like, I have a podcast, the Talking Shit Podcast, and it's something similar where I just, again, I mean, I'm like for us, by us, almost like FUBU. Because everybody counts. Ordinary
yes.
people count, too. So, shout
yes.
out to you.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, no, for sure. I agree with you 100%. You know, unfortunately, in news and journalism, like I said, they want to kind of only focus on, you know, the important prominent celebrity figures, you know, city council, judges, all of that good stuff. And it's just kind of like there's people out here every day who are doing amazing, incredible things, but and people don't know about it. And there's not really a platform, like there's no news channel, I would say, that just focuses on positive news stories. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so that's
yeah,
what
true.
I'm using my platform and hoping to really build
wow.
that. That's what I would love to have in the future, actually, is my own network and news channel where it's positive news. Not trying to like ignore the negative, but, you know, something specifically. Because, like, I don't know if you guys heard, but, like, my grandmother and, like, other people will literally tell me, like, I don't watch the news because it's just so sad. Everyone's dying. People
yeah.
are getting killed. COVID. I just can't watch it. It's too depressing. And they have a poll.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know what? I used to be that way. I just recently started watching
really?
News because I didn't watch news because this is a bunch of, like, negativity, in my opinion. But at the same time, my mom was like, oh, you need to just be aware. It's good to watch so you can be aware.
Mm.
Like, today I read
right.
in the news that a former NFL player, I think his name was Philip Adams, he shot and killed 5 people, including himself, so that's 6, so killed himself. So, and it's just tough, and you're just like, oh, my gosh, I don't want to hear about this. I mean, like, this
right.
is just bad. It's like,
right.
he ended up killing a doctor, you know, a doctor that was well-known in South Carolina, and it just I'm a very emotional. Like, I feel people, so I can cry off anything. I watch comedy shows, and they have, like, a little emotional part in it, and I'm in there crying. I'm like, oh, my God. Wow, I'm like, well, it's not real, but you know, so I tend not to watch as much, but I do watch now because I want to become more aware. But yeah, I feel your grandmother. I feel everybody that says it because I was in that space.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I say that
as well because, I mean, it's so stress inducing that
mm-hmm.
the amount of unfortunate suicides and PTSD cases that are on the rise just
right.
from people being enclosed. But, you know, I'm reading a book, and it actually referenced what separation does for people as a whole.
Mm.
And it's like I said, it's good. So, I know you say out of the Fort Worth area, I got somebody over in Oak Cliff that's running for office. He's a young rapper. I'm going to give you the name right now. It is Mr. Devontae D. Peters, and he's running in District 8. District 8.
Let me write that down.
Yeah, Devontae D. Peters, and he is reachable, and he goes by Brother, B-R-O-T-H-A. Shout,
okay.
S-H-A-W-T, Shout, not short, Shout. Brother Shout.
Shout, okay.
Yeah, Brother Shout, that's where you can find him at on Instagram. He's in District 8, and I'm hoping that he's able to pull it off. He's a young aspiring rapper. He's a vegan, and I don't know why I'm promoting him because I don't live in Texas, but I support him. I support him.
This is good for
you
me
know,
to know.
So far.
He's a vegan. He lives in Texas.
Yeah. yeah. I don't live in Texas, but you know that's my contribution to some more positive stories and maybe another lead for you to try to get him on because it says they vote on May 1st
yes.
far as their voting
right
in District 8. Boom! There you go. So, like I said, man, it's good. It's good hearing somebody that's down to earth. And I just got one side question for you. I don't know
yes,
when
sir.
You attended UCLA. But did you get a chance to catch Alonzo? Were you in school with Alonzo Ball by chance?
No, so I graduated from Xavier University in New Orleans. I just went to UCLA for that leadership conference. I didn't actually graduate from there. Yeah.
Gotcha. I thought you might have been a classmate of one of the BBB Ball brothers. Lonzo, Mello, all of those guys, yeah.
Awesome. So,
I ain't gonna hold you, Brother Kofi. Anybody else?
Okay. Yo, what's going on?
Anybody
what's
else?
Going on?
Go ahead.
All right, let's see here. Let's go into this a little deeper, a little bit better. But I wanted to say, you know, first of all, thank you. Thank you for everybody coming on today. It's been a great show. We've been kicking in with you all. We appreciate all your guests coming on today. It's been one of the times. We want to say, listen, anytime you want to come on, anytime you want to be on the show, we appreciate you, sister. Just come on. We're here live every Thursday for you. We're, you know, when we're not running into technical difficulties.
One last question for Jaira, though. I want to just bring this on the spot. Like, Jaira, if someone wants to be on your show, like if they have a story that they think they want to share, how can they reach you?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Well, they can always reach me via any social media of mine. To make it easy, I'm at Jaira Nicole TV. So at JIRAH Nicole NICOLE TV, the letter T and V. Any social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and they can also send me an email, Jaira, J-I-R-A-H, at sign, JairaNicole.com, and they can reach out to me on there. Or if anybody has a friend that they know and they have my number, who they think, I love referrals too. I always love referrals. So if anybody knows someone that they think would be great for the show and they have my number, feel free to text me or call me and just be like, hey, I have someone you might want to reach out to, and I'll be more than happy to reach out to. And I don't know if I said it earlier, but my show is every Tuesday, Facebook Live and on Blog Talk Radio, every Tuesdays from 11:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. Wow. Central Time.
All right, all right. You heard it first. You heard it here first. Yeah, heard it here first on, you know what it is. But anyway, but listen, I wanted to give you, listen, let me tell you something. This is, must be a coincidence or a quinky dink or whatever you want to say. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pull the CEO card right now. And anytime, now, this is what you not know, is that we have our own television network. And it's called NSL. Yes, we do. It's called NSL Television Network. We premiere on Roku and Firefox. About in 2 more months, we're going to be on Firefox, Amazon TV as well. And I am going to give you an opportunity to broadcast your show on our platform for free of charge.
Oh my God! I could literally cry. Are you guys trying to make me cry on air?
No, no.
Awesome. Congratulations.
Hey, oh, my God. Hey, thank you guys so much.
Well, let me put it like this. Sister Sophia, tell you, I'll put you on the spot.
Yes, you will. I will put you on the
spot. I will put you on the spot. And let me put it like this. Listen. One thing I always said to myself, you know, this is when I got from when I met New Edition. When I was a little boy, and I really don't tell that story, I was about 6 or 7 years old, and I'm in my little boy PJs, and I hear out there in the thing, and you know, I say, Mommy, what's going on the noise? Now, I was already up because I wasn't supposed to be up, but I was sneaking watching Quantum Leap at the time. So, you know, I wasn't supposed to be up. It was 10 o'clock at night. So Ralph comes in there with right there, and his grandmother and his aunt, you know, who was my age, was like, you know, she came out. And I, you know, I had a big crush on the aunt and everything because, you know, we used to school together. So what happened was I always had this drawn to becoming a celebrity or mentality or something like that. But I never put it in the front of my brain. I never said, well, I'm going to drive to that. But I've always given myself a promise. If I can help somebody achieve their goal, then I'm already there. Okay?
Wow.
I love that.
And I will continuously do that no matter what. You know what I'm saying? And listen, I always try to do that. So, you know, so you have that dream now. You want that dream. You, guess what? We're going to give it to you. So you can broadcast on our platform. We kick off in May 26th. As everybody knows, you can go Google it, NSF TV Network on Google. Almost every station out there has got it in their news feed, all out there. So, yes, we do. NBC, ABC, Fox, that's all I did. And, well, if you want to see a few stuff, you can go down to the radio station, our radio station's website, and go into the bio and click right on it. You can see what you're talking about. And we did. So, guess what? So, I'm going to offer you that chance. So you can be out there and be able to feel that revolt. And Sister Sophia will be your point of contact or information or anything like that. And, you know, we just want you to be able to have a place where you can call your home and put that news on there. And you can be able to do out there and put your shows and put your broadcasting out there and show the world that, you know what, the small man, small woman matter. So.
Yes. Love that.
Oh my god, I wish I could hug you guys all in person right now, but thank you so much.
Thank Brother Kofi too. You gotta thank Brother Kofi because he keeps me up from acting out like a fool sometimes. So, you know, so you can say thank you, Brother Kofi.
Thank you, Brother Kofi.
Thank
you guys seriously so much. Like, you, oh my god, you guys have no idea how much this means to me. Like,
hey, we got you. We're there for you. You know what? We always want to keep it up and real. Don't forget the powerhouse squad. That's why we got the power of the hour right there for you.
Yes.
And we want to say thank you. Thank you for coming on. And hey, you know what time it is? It's that time again. We want to say thank you. Appreciate you. Breaking news. We have it on. All right. Okay, so check this out. You know, next week, Sister Fia, you're going to do it again. Tell them what's going on next week.
Yes, we're doing it again. So we will have financial guru Lexi Johnson, which is an international speaker. She has her own TV station network. She's going to be talking to us about finances, if you're single, finances, if you're just broke, if you're married, all of that good stuff. So I'm definitely excited, and you guys tune in for this because you're not going to want to miss this because she got some tips. She's going to give you the advice. She's going to give you the scoop. We're going to talk about everything financial next week on Thursday.
All right. You heard the Powerhouse Squad has been here. And guess what? 2 minutes left in the building. Hey, I want to say, everybody, I love you. I'll see y'all next week. And keep it real. The Powerhouse Squad is leaving the building.
You know what time it is.
It's the Powerhouse Squad. The Powerhouse Squad. The radio.
The Powerhouse Squad. The Wisdom has left the house. Tone Robbins.
Live and direct, man.
Kofi Afuare.
Video. I am Hills Kofi Afuare.
And Brother Al. Hey, what's up? You know, it's not just the wisdom, it's the basis of understanding of the subject. The newest member to the Powerhouse Squad,
Sophia Alexandria.
The Power Squad has gone home. See you, folks.
Good night, everybody.